All right.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Meeting is called to order at 4:34.
I'll just leave these just in case someone else comes.
That's me.
So, the first thing we want to do is the agenda is look at the proposed salary schedule and other. And the other thing that I want to talk about is that Mrs. McSwain asked that we talk about the calendar for the paraprofessionals. So I just want to verify that the calendars are not negotiable or not negotiated, rather. But I did want to find out what was your concern, and I do have a copy of the calendar for the paras. So let me get that out.
I wasn't sure what your concern was.
And you know, our work day is 191 days, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
The teachers is 196, but they get 5 days on the end for different things. But
paid holidays. Mm-hmm.
They get on the end. So that
makes
them work 191 days, right?
No, teachers work 196 days.
Right, but they get five on the end. Who told me that? They get five on the end. Ms. Yoma told me they get five. So non-paid holidays, they get them on the end. Okay, then if the teacher work 196 days, why are we getting out after the teachers? As you say, they work 196 days, we work 191. They get out on, their calendar say they get out on May the 3rd, and our calendar say we get out on June the 2nd.
And I think what happened with this calendar was that there was an issue, and so they decided that they would use instructional days, instructional minutes. So the instructional minutes were used instead of stretching it out, because teachers actually were supposed to have gotten out. Let me turn to this calendar.
May 30,
I want to say.
They get out May the 30th, and their calendar said.
Let me. Yeah, the teacher's last day is May the 30th, but their day would have been after Memorial Day. And so instead of coming back to the 28th, which would have been the last student days, and then they would have at least worked to May 30th, then what they decided to do was utilize the instructional minutes, because they work enough minutes that the students didn't have to be in school for those two additional days.
Well, we work the same amount of minutes they do, because when they're there, we're there.
Right.
Teacher planning day, we're there.
I understand.
I don't understand how they get out before us, because 191 days is 191 days, 196 days is 196 days.
And you all start back the day the teachers come back.
Right. They come with the teachers. Every time they come back. Lately, we've been coming back. Well, we always come back with them.
Okay.
We never came back behind the teachers. Never since I've been working for 24 years that we ever come back behind the teachers. We always either came back before them or with them.
Okay, and I'm not sure who your representative would be for your non-instructionals to speak on the calendar committee, but I would certainly make sure that that conversation is had with whoever that individual is to come and speak to the committee,
right,
as they're making up the calendar, Ms. McSwain, to address those issues.
Okay, so who I need to talk? I'll come up here and talk with them. Who I need to speak with?
Well, the calendar committee consists of individuals from the curriculum department, teachers from the GCCTA, and other district office.
Okay,
employees.
But Well, somebody put this calendar together,
Ms.
right?
Ms. Robinson chairs this.
Yes, Ms. Robinson, Ms. Lisa Robinson chairs the committee.
That's why I need
yes.
to speak with Ms. Robinson. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yes.
I'm going to make an appointment to speak with Ms. Robinson because I don't think it's fair that we work the same amount of days and then they get out before we do.
Mm-hmm.
But we, at one point, we was getting out with them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what changed.
I'm not sure.
Because I just want to understand, though, not knowing anything as much as you all about this working here, on June 2nd, there will be no teachers, but all the paraprofessionals are going to show up to work.
Yeah,
and
we got to work.
And you're going to pay them all when they show up, because that's the calendar you put out. This
mm-hmm.
is exactly what happened
mm-hmm.
last year. So
mm-hmm.
just, if
mm-hmm.
you're doing it on purpose, you got stuff for them to do, that's great, but it's atypical, right? Because normally they are only there.
Well, I'm sure the administrators will be, the administrators
oh,
are
yeah,
on campus, but yeah, I'm sure they'll have an assignment for them to do.
Well,
okay.
We don't want to work after the teacher. We come back with the teacher. We're right there for many days that the teachers work.
That's
and you
okay.
said they work 196 days,
that
not days, not 191. I don't see how this, how we can still be getting that behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to Lisa
yeah.
Robinson.
Yeah. We should have to use our personal leave time to take off that day because we should be getting going home with them.
Right.
Well,
so do you think it's
yeah, speak to Ms. Robinson.
Okay, huh?
Do you think that there's 192 days on here?
No.
No, it's 191 days.
It's 191.
So we're certain that this is 191.
Yes, sir.
It
is 191.
From the
mm-hmm.
teacher calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so the only thing is you will, yeah, you can take a leave day or show up. And
we should have to take no leave day.
No, I know, but you show up and just do paperwork and stuff.
No, I don't want to show up. I want to go home when the teachers go home.
Well, I would suggest, right. yeah, to have that conversation with Mrs. Lisa Robinson.
That's what my co-workers
yeah.
say. We all want to go home when the teachers go home. We come to work when they come to work, and I want to go home when they go home.
I
that's not right.
That's a fair concern.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
Talk with Ms. Robinson,
okay.
mm-hmm. and then make sure you're properly represented on the calendar committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is this calendar valid for 2 years?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's valid for 2 years, but the board can amend it.
That is correct.
So.
Yeah. But they approved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
not
yet. The same thing last year. The same problem last two times. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Robinson.
Yeah,
I'm sure it
she'll
does.
She'll be able to explain it better
mm-hmm.
than any of us here.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, so we have before you the proposed salary schedule for GESPA. I am going to let Ms. Bruner explain the financial piece and also the outlines of the highlighted areas so that you'll understand how it kind of looks here.
So the last proposal we gave you, you pointed out that we were missing some of the categories. So we went back and made sure that we verified all of these categories to the current contract. And so all of those categories are listed. The ones that are highlighted in yellow are ones that we didn't previously have on there. On the last page, the IT technicians and maintenance workers. Footnote one is that definition of maintenance workers to match the contract. And then the last category, lead maintenance worker, footnote two matches that contract, or that language in the contract. And then the second document is the one we've hidden the employee names, but you'll see all the positions, buildings. If they're highlighted in yellow, they would not see an increase because they were already above the standard for their years of service. And you'll see at the bottom that that is total impact is $250,925.69, including the estimated 20% for benefits.
Okay. So I think, do you have Secretary Feliz here? I mean, they're... I think you gave me the job description.
Those are job descriptions that were used, but I'm not sure. All of these job descriptions aren't being utilized, and there are positions on this document that we've provided to you that don't have employees in the positions.
Which
so,
ones?
I'm sorry?
Which ones don't have
The one that does not have anyone in the position would be vehicle mechanic one. And the food service, food assistant cafeteria manager. There are no any. We don't have any employees in that position.
And do we have any secretary employees?
Oh, I'm asking.
Well, there's the job descriptions that are listed on that sheet. We only have these positions right here.
That's why I'm looking here to see if. No, yeah.
They can live for themselves.
Yeah.
This is the sheet with that.
So on this sheet right here, to have all the job listings. Mm-hmm.
Secretaries fit into the current descriptions, because essentially right now secretary three makes more than secretary two and one, and if you look at the job descriptions, it's because, okay, you require them to type faster, have a little bit more experience, and then there's additional job duties as well, and I assume some of those job duties are still happening.
I'm thinking that if they are secretary three, they're the office managers, and they're not a part of the GESPA. They're part of our...
These are the positions we have.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And no, they're not listed.
Okay. So if they're not listed there, we don't have any one position.
But if your attorney secretary chooses an office manager, then I don't know that that's appropriate. We have secretary three as a bargaining unit with higher pay and the job responsibilities of the office manager.
Are they on the contract?
We don't have secretary three. I don't know why we wouldn't show you have secretary three.
As a part of Appendix A, you only have a Secretary 1 and a Secretary 2 of the GESPA contract.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, it's just on the table. Job description for it, but they don't fill out. Do you know if there's a job description for office manager?
Yes.
So the lead bus driver salary here, I think in the contract it says lead bus driver, I think the contract says that the lead bus drivers get more in a dollar amount or a percentage.
It was a percentage.
Is this the percent of it? Mm-hmm. So that would be included in this
yes.
now? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, we went back and fixed that calculation. And And that's why you'll see those footnotes on the side of those are going to be moved to leave bus drivers. They're not currently tied to that right now, so what they've been doing in.
But their pay currently reflects their lead bus driver status.
Yeah.
And they're just called bus driver though.
And we'll go in and change their title to match.
For the bus drivers, the other thing I was curious about though is it seems like their minimum is $17.25, but I don't remember ever negotiating it that high. Because we have like the 22-23 agreement, which is in the back of probably everyone's contract. And then we add the dollar an hour to that, and then it was bonuses for 2 years. And so I'm not really sure how it went from like $11 or $12 an hour up to $17.25.
Are you saying for the bus driver?
Yeah, for any bus driver, what's the lowest salary of any bus driver? Yeah, I saw $17.25.
It could have been in the increase that.
Yeah. Increase that was the problem with that the past schedule was people in past years were just
$17.54.
So do you if you don't know how to get that you just
I don't
yeah, you ever started thinking
about that? I'm not even sure Dr. Siegel how it got above that, perhaps you might have not negotiated it, but
I negotiate everything. But perhaps you didn't negotiate. I don't hire them.
Oh no.
Well,
it's above our pay grade.
Okay, you were not directed to negotiate or whatever. Someone hired them at a pay rate not in the CBA. Seems like from what I can tell. And so I know this is the bus drivers, but I'm concerned about other positions too, because you can't just make up your own pay table, so there's a lot of inconsistencies with that.
Well, there certainly were a lot of inconsistencies across the board. That was one of the major issues.
That's right. Why it was so critical to adjust the salary schedule.
But I don't want to act like it just came out of nowhere. I know you're like short-staffed all over the place, but like, let's say the super finds a bus driver and is like, I'm going to hire you. Someone here signs the PAF that needs to be responsible. I hope, you know, the superintendent emails you, hire this guy for 100 an hour, whatever it is. Someone here has to say, well, the CBA dictates it's going to be $15 an hour or something. I don't see that that's happening. And so that's my concern is if we pull these PAFs, whose signature hired all these people, not at the rate in the contract.
Yeah, it certainly would always be the superintendent to make
the
decisions. We submit to him in writing or via email the approval to process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the information is detailed.
Like the rate of pay.
So who's all of that.
The rate of pay in that document.
We're following what the pay schedule is.
Well, that didn't happen for a ton of people. We can see that. At least for bus drivers, and so someone typed in the wrong numbers, did the wrong numbers, I mean, how did the numbers get there? That's what I'm missing. Because it seemed like most of your employees were under 15 an hour, and at some point they...
But everyone that were under $15 an hour got a pay increase.
Yeah, but that should have been limited to 15. Yeah, they shouldn't have gone higher than 15 an hour because, the law was mandating you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow you to say, well, that doesn't make sense. We got to pay bus drivers $17.25 if the pairs are getting 15. That has to be negotiated. And so then it's based on the current pay table, which hasn't increased for a couple of years. It is unclear to me how I think the bus drivers are getting 12 and change. Now we're at $17.25, and so I can ask for the PAFs and we'll see who signed them, but at the end of the day, it's not just a nebulous, I don't know what happened, someone's signature will be on the document that did that, right?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely a fact, we can't undo that. We're not going to go back and change, it's always this, the superintendent that has the final approval on the salary. This current superintendent to my knowledge, has always stuck with the salary schedule that we have.
What is the other choice? I mean, we say approval, but it's like...
Time, there were a lot of things going on. This is why we're in this situation right now with Gaspar's pay schedule. We cleaned it up. I think this is a good effort to clean it up. And I don't know what to do, Dr. Siegel, because we're not going to go back and change someone's pay.
No, but what I'm saying is I can appreciate if it was 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but we're looking at a lot of employees since the three of us, at least, have been here at this table together. So someone, and I don't hire the people, so it wasn't on this side of the table, someone in Gadsden County Schools.
And was 1 year left to abstract, 17 to 24, all the ones are 34, 20 years, yeah.
So that was when we went to the $15 an hour schedule?
Mm-hmm.
And probably, if we went to the $15 an hour schedule that was, when we did that was approved by Gaspar, maybe it was a part of the calculation then?
Well, the $15 an hour wasn't approved by Gaspar. That was the state mandate. They asked, to do the...
Okay.
For everyone to go to $15 an hour.
I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know this for a fact, so maybe some type of percentage was used to get the minimum salary at $15 an hour. And whatever percentage that was used was applied across the board. And it could be that some people were at the
17. You have to negotiate all those salaries. You can't just give everyone a raise that you want. Right? The 15 an hour, I understand. The law didn't say raise everyone to 15 an hour and then you can give other people proportional raises.
I understand. So we're going to talk around in circles. If you want us to go back and take it away, we can. But I don't know how. I guess the bottom line is we don't know how it happened. Why it's at 17, we just know that that's the minimum schedule based on the information we have in Skyward. Am I misspeaking, Dr. Sonia?
And currently, the schedule that you're looking at right now, this is the proposed.
No, I know, but I'm looking at the public records. Yeah, essentially what she's looking at.
The column that shows what their current rate is.
Okay, gotcha.
The proposed rate, what that's going to be. So,
how many years were they working?
The two at 1 year of experience are at 1754 currently.
Two individuals?
Yeah, it seems like you have an internal bus driver pay scale. We didn't negotiate it.
But the others are at 20, 30 years of experience, all the other bus drivers we
have. I don't know.
I can certainly check on those two individuals for you.
It's the whole class, and I think it's even beyond the class. It's a lot of employees, and I understand the idea, like, we're not going to go back and take it away from them. What do we tell the other employees who have been making way less? So not the 1725, but you have employees offset based on years of experience that just don't even make sense. And so how do we tell someone with, 25 years experience, oh, you've been making a dollar an hour less than someone with 3 years experience? There are cases like that. And so that's where I'm not sure how to deal with that. And so at this table, we've talked about we're doing this table and then no one will take a pay decrease. So then some people who've had artificially inflated salaries now are just going to get to keep them. I don't want to take money away, but it's like, what about the people who have more experience and have been here? They just get, screwed is the word I keep thinking and trying to find a better word, but a little screwed. So that's my concern about those folks.
Our bottom line, though, is we would very much like to see our Gaspar employees get a salary increase.
Right.
I think given the mess that we inherited, this is a pretty good salary schedule, and we'd like to move forward, but if we can keep going back and forth on this, on things that are out of our control, there's nothing we can do about it.
This table's in control at this table, as far as in here, so I don't like the concept of the board approved it, take it or leave it, that's what it is. That's just not the case to me.
No, we can do things moving forward. I'm just saying this is holding up people's salary increase.
Negotiating the salary increase?
I don't want to... Things that we have no control over. Things that happened years before our time.
Sure.
We don't have any control over.
Going forward, So to your point about inheriting stuff, and I think it's been made a little more messy in the past few years, this does something to correct it. If you look at what I proposed, which is of course much more aggressive, what GESPA has proposed, that doesn't even correct it all the way. It corrects it like 80%. This, I'll take it back, is probably only going to correct this 50%. The percent's being based on, you should have a line, right, of like years of experience, salary, and people fit on the line. And so we take all the current employees and plot them and take your proposal and see where they would move to. And it's a mess right now, like we've been talking about in a lot of these. And so my proposal fits a lot of them to the line, but there are still people who are above. They're making more than they should be. Mm-hmm. And it's right. Not a few, it's quite a few. Mm-hmm. Your proposal is way too many still, like way too many. It doesn't
comment, it's 24.
Okay, we can exchange. I don't have all my aggregate numbers. I'm just looking at all
the
classes as
well. Yeah, because we went back.
So you're saying it's 24.
24.
Mm-hmm. It's only 24.
The yellows.
The yellows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we went back and when we added some categories and made sure we captured all the people that you had asked about and realigned everybody.
Which is like 10% of the bargaining unit.
Because they work so high. And I think it's mostly in...
I think it is.
They were used in transportation. Mm-hmm. You see all transportation, all the highlights, because they, again, were brought on so high. There's only three in maintenance.
And so, looking at the specific details of, I haven't really digested the full new one, but I assume it's similar to the past ones you've given. So one thing that jumped out, tell me if this has changed, is not. So you have receptionists starting at $16 an hour, but paraprofessionals start at $15 an hour. And even paras with an associate's degree are only $15.50. That's correct. You believe that based on the qualifications and job duties required, a receptionist should make more than a paraprofessional dealing with the kids all day who has to have qualifications to be in the classroom? I don't know if there's any county that that's the case.
It's based on their past salary schedule, I think.
I don't think it's because mine was based on it, and they were kind of level with paras, and so where I took a little leeway was to paras can make a little bit more, but not so much more, using the guidelines of like the market and other districts neighboring and across the state. So that is not typical at all. And then,
I think it's because when you look at their total salary, because of the hours worked, there was a little bit of comparison, but. Yeah, even with the 15, it's
21.4,
and the receptionist, it's
37. We pay labor on an hourly basis, is the thing. So for exempt employees, we can compare annual, but not for hourly.
Are you suggesting that we bump paras up?
Yeah. Like how my original proposal more has. But I'll talk about some other things because everything costs money anyway. So there's that part of it, which is that paras need to be making more than the receptionists. And the other proposal we had given last time, though, it seemed to me, yeah. I mean, this is very different than last proposal. So your secretary ones here go from 16 to 17.50. This is common for a lot of these positions. You're doing 5 cents a year, right? Mm-hmm. That is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very little differentiation, like very, very little. But in the last proposal, actually, you had some better differentiation, but it was only on bus drivers and secretary one. And so secretary one went from 15.31, so they're making 69 more cents in the last proposal. Up to 23.22, and now you're talking about 17.50, and so that $8 spread was surprising, but provided actual differentiation between the years. And then the bus driver, the last proposal was 18.25 to 24.25. What is it here? Is it the same? 18.25 to 24.25. Right. So, and that has good grading. And so that's the point is my proposal really gave spacing. It spread them all out, corrected most of the stuff. And so you adopted that. So from your proposal, the only two positions, and I haven't looked at this new one, but from the old one, that were like, okay, this is good, were bus drivers, which you adopted mine, and then secretary one. But now Secretary one has regressed to everything else of only being 10 cents apart.
Yes, because the board had given us an approved dollar amount to stay within, and we've already exceeded it, so we adjusted that one because we don't have currently anyone employed in that category.
In which category?
Secretary one.
You don't have any Secretary ones employed?
So you said.
I asked earlier how they were no workers, and that was not mentioned at all.
The first proposal that you all vote before the board, the very first one, that y'all cleaned up.
That's what this is a proposal.
And at one point, they had me at 16.77. I guess they didn't approve that, the board didn't approve that?
No, the board only approved an amount that we had to stay within. And so the total cost, that's what we have to, whatever we do, we have to stay within the amount that the board has approved for us. So we can give one group more money or less money, but we have to stay within the amount the board approved. And if, you know, I don't know, we can take from someone to give another group. I think we can be open to at least looking at a proposal, who you want to take for to move the cost.
Well, our point is you already did that because on September 18th, your proposal for para one was 15 to 1730 at the top, and the proposal in October was 15 to only 1650. And so you had already taken, I don't know if it went somewhere else, but theirs decreased. And so a concern is now there's been a handful of proposals back and forth. We could have agreed to any of them, but they keep getting regressive, like they're going backwards in dollar amounts from what we could tell. Like you're saying you're spending the same total amount, but I never even got the dollar amount still from the superintendent's first proposal. So in general, no regressive bargaining. You can't go backwards and offer less money. I agree with you with the rearrangement of money. I understand that part of it. But the specific position that this made the least sense to me was lead maintenance plumber electrician. Let's look at what your new one is for this and see if it changed. Nope, so it goes 29.15 to 30.65. So if you do $1.50 over 30 years for the para, I think that stinks, but it is 10% across 30 years. But 10% across that for lead maintenance would be $3 an hour. It's only, is it even a dollar? It's $1.40. And so for a lead maintenance worker, who these are the plumber electrician types, or like a lead HVAC refrigeration mechanic with no experience versus a 30-year career is like $1.50 difference. That's kind of crazy. You don't really see that also in other districts' pay scales. The spacing has to kind of show with the position as you're growing. So it's like, why would an experienced person come here to work next to someone for like 1% more money? I think it's 3%, 3-4%, right? And so that grading also, so I'm kind of confused about what is determining which positions I would say are like being respected with experience. So like bus drivers, I would say that's happening, but that's because I did that for all my positions. And then you adopted the bus driver once, that's why it's reflected there. And then in the secretaries, it was kind of more than normal even, but now has regressed to the $1.50. So is there any methodology for what positions the school board or superintendent want to respect the longevity versus others where they're like, the longevity is not really worth it there, they should kind of all make the same?
It was just in 5-cent increments to keep us within the dollar amount that the board had asked.
But not for secretaries on the last proposal, which again, we could have agreed to because you proposed it. So if we would have agreed to sign it that day, you hopefully would have signed it because you proposed it. And then those secretaries would have been differentiated by $8 an hour between 1 and 30 years. So why that? Why secretaries got that kind of differentiation than no one else?
That one in the last proposal is what is currently in the contract. But it only stops at 20 years.
No, the current contract should stop at 15 an hour for secretary one. Right, and this, at least this proposal is 15.31.
Because that's what I had last time, what was already in there, we just didn't touch it. And then this time we moved it. Because we kind of hit that dollar in that category, so it's going to change.
Now that you know how that before this time, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
you have the long sheet from last time, my binder just fell apart. Mm-hmm. But I think you were printing on like legal paper.
Don't.
Yes.
Started at 1531 and then went to 2087.
Flip it over though. There's 4 more years on the back of that.
I'm so sorry.
2322
for the.
That's what I was saying. So secretaries and bus drivers were ours. The secretaries, the superintendent gave like a royal treatment for 1 month. There's no way. So the original contract that was last ratified by all parties with a pay table is going to have them making like $11 an hour or something.
I don't think I have that. It's pretty much. I might.
Who's the one that happened on the separate basis?
Oh, no, I don't have that one. I just have this one. Oh, I think I want to this one.
That one. Mm-hmm. This is the other one.
That's not the right one.
Does it give them more money? Mm-hmm. Nobody should get 16, less money.
No, you have to 16. But the rate of change.
Yeah, my point in this part is differentiation. Mm-hmm. Who are we granting differentiation to respect the years of experience? Bus drivers, we're in agreement there. Everywhere else, we're not, because I think you're putting 5 cents on putting like 15 or something. But then secretaries were given, I've done math, they can do it. That's 8 divided by 30. Lots, like 35 cents a year for secretaries. But not anymore. Your most recent proposal brought them back down like everyone else. So my question is, why were they granted for a month? If we had accepted that, secretaries would have been treated like royalty, expertise royalty. But now that's taken away. So, you know, I want to make a counterproposal that is amenable, so I'm trying to understand how the district is carving this stuff to make the decisions, because I don't understand it.
I think that, correct me if I'm misspeaking, you did 5% across the board.
5 cents.
5 cents of increase across the board. And what she tried to do was to make sure no one, even if they had been placed off the pay scale for the number of years that they worked, no one got a pay cut. And we tried to stay within the amount of money, the band of money that the board said we could spend on this. So, it looked pretty good to us. If you have a better proposal that keeps us within that span, that absolutely does not go over what the board proposed, that makes sure everyone gets some type of pay increase, and makes sure people that have been placed off the scale do not get a pay cut, we're open to that, are we, Dr. Sonia?
Yeah.
That's our bottom line. We have a band of money we can operate within. And we've been told we can't go over that. We want to make sure everyone gets a pay increase. And anybody, for whatever reason, before our time, or whichever superintendent was operating on that was placed on the pay scale, given a salary higher than the pay scale, we're not going to cut their pay. They'll just have to stay there until they get to a point where they're getting a raise. Those are the three main things.
That is correct.
Okay, so.
So, I mean, I hear you. And I don't know what's determining the amount of money available to spend. What's determining that?
The amount of money to spend. We don't have an infinite amount of money. As a district team, we have to take into consideration all the needs of the district. And so if we give whatever we do for one group, we would have to try to do for the other group. In addition, with the new school that we're building, it's affecting our money we get for maintenance. We have to watch what's in our general fund very carefully. We got to make sure we meet our fund balance and then have money to deal with maintenance. So
on one of our proposals, we had a dollar amount, and so the board said, yes, we'd like to keep it to that dollar amount. Then you identified all the employees that we had left off of our list. So when we put those on their list, now we're at this dollar amount. So the dollar amount before you today is still higher than what the board had told us to do.
Right.
So we're going to have to go back and say, well, it's because we had to add all these others.
So, that's a great point, which is that the amount the board has set is not the final amount. It's the amount they think is the least amount they can spend and make a settlement, which is what all the board can do. And they may have to come up with more money. And the main thing, which we talked about last time, is the board spent $612,000 on 173 employees, mostly administration. You provided me documents in the following bargaining session, which literally confirmed that to the dollar. Yep, that's what I said, all right. So we're just going to, explain to the bargaining unit, okay, they spent this much on a few of them, and that's where their priorities are and what their choices are. And there's no arguing about that. You did it. That's it.
And we stand by what we've done.
I know, because
that's water under the bridge. We stand our language. Our language and our rationale is not in agreement with your thought process. So we stand by that. What we want to do again is ensure that our guestful employees get a pay increase, and that nobody that was placed on the scale, off the scale at a higher pay rate, get a cut. They just have to live with that until they catch up with the new pay scale. And that we don't go over the amount of money set for us to use. So any gaslighting, any talking in circles.
Unless the board thinks they need to spend more money, then they will. So what's gaslighting is I'm telling you the facts of the school board meeting. You spent $600,000. That's on the board doc. You brought me corroborating documents. And now we're trying to act like none of that happened.
I think you're misinterpreting the documentation.
It's a list of employees. It's a dollar amount spent on them. We can give
it
to
them. Administrators classify age group cost a certain amount.
Yeah.
So yes, how you interpret that is how you interpret that.
Dr.
Siegel, do you have a counter proposal for us, or are we moving forward?
I don't have one today. No,
okay.
I have to digest what your new proposal was and understand how all these employees fit into it. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What does the employee ESC money pay ESC parents?
That's state funding, the ESC
federal
dollars.
They're different. When I spoke to the superintendent, and he told me, he said he had looked into each one of these, but he said regular prepaid get paid from the general fund. We have our own money that we get paid for, and then the other parents get, that's in the regular pre-K, Title I monies, ESE, ed money. And my thing over there is, how you pay, does it come from, you said federal dollars, right?
Yeah.
And so ESE is giving a certain amount of money, right?
Yeah, that we have to apply for in the grant.
And in that certain amount of money, how do you pay your parent?
What do you mean?
Can you, in that amount of money, give us a better raise since we all get paid from different pots of money?
It would defeat the purpose of a schedule then. If we paid, just because you came from a federal grant or whatever, we paid you a different amount, then it would defeat the schedule.
Well, he said that we could afford it. He said the district could afford it. That's what he said. He said he had looked at that when he made the sell the chart. He said.
I'm not sure. You know, obviously none of us were a part of that conversation.
Right.
What we can say definitively, we were given a dollar amount to work with them. We can tell you that. We can tell you definitively, we were told anybody that was over pace off the schedule and given more than what they should have been for based on number of years, we were not going to take away, subtract from their salaries. And everybody had to realize some kind of raise.
My thing of it is that when they did that, when they proposed the amount of money that they wanted to spend, did they look at the years of us working? And so it wasn't by the years, it was just a certain amount of money that they say they didn't want to go
over. They had a proposal, but in terms of the dollar amount, that's based on the overall, there is the funding that the district receives is not just for salaries, okay? So when we're given amounts that we can spend, we have to look at the big picture. We're not just looking at GESPA or GCCTA or classified.
Right. I'm looking at the years. I don't care what position.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
saying. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at GESPA either, GTA either. I'm looking at the amount of years that we don't work in this district.
So with that,
what are they working at?
So with the amount of money that we have there, if you can stay in there and you want to come back with a different proposal, moving, you can switch in the categories around as long as everybody gets a raise and nobody makes less money than they're currently making now.
What's your pot that you're working out of?
It's on there on the last page. Mm-hmm.
What was the number for your
$250,925.60. So if you, are we not open to?
Yes,
we are. If you want to do a counter, let them give us a counter. So, I mean, we've done the best we can given the parameters we were given. So if you have a better parameter under those guidelines, we are certainly open to that, because one thing we want to do is to try to give people raises that we can afford.
Is there any appetite to additionally compensate the employees who have been making less than those other employees who, for reasons we have no idea, just got such a high hourly rate than the others? So we're working alongside now for 3 years together. You have 30 years experience, I have 5. And I've been making much more than you. Are we going to give you anything as this comes to light, or just?
If it was up to us, we want our employees to be paid the highest in the county. But in the end, we have to do what we can afford, and we have to do it in a way that we see is fair for everyone, regardless of the bargaining group. We really want to see the employee, we want to clean up our salary schedule so we don't get back in, to get us out of the hole that we've been dug in. And we want to see people get a raise. If you think you can do better with the pot of money that we have, of course we have to be able to do those suggestions. We're not trying to hide anything.
No, I keep trying to make the distinction. No one's hiding anything. It's just about choices, and there's like an adamancy to not admit them directly. And so just, I don't have names on any of this. I don't think anyone here holds this position. Just a random example. Director of Federal Programs got a $9,000 raise this year. It was a choice from the school district, from the school board superintendent, to say that person's going to get a $9,000 raise. GESP is going to have a $250,000. This is from the school board meeting on July 2nd. Director of Federal Program from $72,000 to $80,000, $987.50. Mm-hmm. And I can do a different position if you want. That's more familiar, but it doesn't matter. It's any of them. Supervisor, coordinator of dropout prevention, $8,000 raise. And so my only point is no one's hiding anything. The school board and the superintendent agreed and approved for those raises. They agreed, we're going to give this person $8,000, this person $9,000. That was the choice they made. Right. And another choice they made is that the GESPA bargaining unit is going to have $250,000. So if we think, well, we could do it for $300,000, the choices that have been made were we already spent the other $50,000 on these seven district employees. There's no way around that. The choices have been made. It was ratified by the board for this classified group. That's it. So it's choices.
If it's coming from the general fund, it is a set pot of money.
Right, that's my point.
Okay, and so if it's a set
pot, there.
It's a set pot of money that we have to work with. And what you were given is what we can afford from the general fund.
Well, he is.
Federal programs, they might, you know, I can't speak to how those raises were done or how they were done. Right. But they have a different pot of money. But if it's coming from the general fund, that's a set pot of money, which
okay,
is what...
Every office manager got a $10,000 raise. Is there were nine of them. That's $90,000. Mm-hmm. The school board and superintendent made a decision to give those employees a $10,000 raise.
Mm-hmm.
And Gloria is going to get like a $1,000 raise. Mm-hmm. So my point is you can't be like, oh, we don't know who's in whatever. It's like, no, and no one's hiding anything. The school board made that decision. It's choices. Mm-hmm. So to say we don't have the money is wrong. We had the money, we spent it here, and we're spending this
we
on you.
We made the choice to go from $33,000 a year for teachers to $47,500. Yes, that was a choice.
Yeah.
That was very expensive, but we made a choice to do that for our teachers. Mm-hmm. Because one, to meet the state requirement, and two, to make salaries competitive. And that's why we spent the larger portion, a larger money, which is not summarized on this sheet, on increasing teacher salaries. We made a choice to give classified and administrators raises because they had not had a raise in 10 or 15 years.
I have not had one either for what you give
and
me.
We're working on trying
what
to give GESPA.
I haven't had one in 10 or 15 years myself.
We're working on trying to give GESPA a raise. So yes, these are choices.
Yeah, and the priority of the choices
right.
is this is the amount of money you spent on the classified
okay.
people, which we still, for some reason, keep denying. I don't get that.
No, yeah, you're right. Classified, that's the amount of money
yeah,
we have set aside.
Admins, right? And then this is the amount we're spending on GESPA. And the dollar amount per person, I hear you, they didn't get a raise in so many years. What were they getting before? What's a livable
right.
wage?
We moved all of GESPA to $15 an hour. That cost a large point.
All of
to 15 with the minimum salary to $15 an hour, and now we're trying to give additional raises.
You moved some of GESPA too.
Right. We made the minimum salary $15 an hour. And now we're trying to give GESPA a raise. So, yes, those are all true statements. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we got 200 and, what, 50,000 more or less to work with. If you think that you can do better, I think we have to be open to that as long as you stay within those criteria. But, you know, going back and forth, yeah, you can't get blood from a turnip. And
you
people still want their raise.
While it's still bleeding and other people are collecting the blood.
Well, maybe next time it'll be
tell
better.
There's no blood in the stone. What are you talking about?
Maybe
months
next
months,
time.
Sit here and
maybe
say, okay,
next
blood
time.
The stone, I got the blood.
It'll get
yeah.
next year to get a little bit better. All we can do is keep moving forward. All we can do is keep moving forward, or we can argue back and forth and nothing gets done.
I
want to
ask this question. When they told y'all that you all had a certain amount of money to expend, why you cut us? Why you cut the para? Why you went back and cut us down? Why you move our money? Why couldn't you look somewhere else and move some money from somewhere else? Y'all did that.
Yeah, we. I don't know, but we're open to you. If you think you can do it better,
but
go.
I just want to know why the parents.
I think what we she said we did 5 cents across the board, but if you can do it differently, we're open to it. It's move other groups around. So, I mean, if we're damned if we do it, we're damned if we don't. If you can do it better for 200 for the amount of money that we've been given, we're open to that. That's what I'm trying to make clear. And it, you know, to go back and forth, it's not helpful. It's not like we're trying to pick.
It's literally helpful. The bus drivers would say it's helpful because think about your initial offer. We had a back and forth, as you're calling it, and now they're getting a better pay schedule. So they would see value in that while you call arguing, we call negotiating.
Give us a better, okay.
I did for them already, and you're trying to minimize it.
Give us a better for this.
That's what the table is for discussing these things.
Okay, give us a better. Give us a better.
I'm going to give you better. You're going to hopefully have an executive session. I would just encourage, before you get a counter from me, encourage them that they're probably going to need to find more money or have some issues. That's what I would say.
They're not going to find
money. So they're going to have some issues.
So if give us a proposal within, if you want to move
forward. I'll give you a proposal.
Within the 250.
It's almost certainly going to be more than that.
Okay, so we're not, we're at an impasse, then we're not going to move forward.
That's exactly right. And is the board prepared for that?
I guess we can pay the employees or pay the attorneys. We'll pay the employees or pay
the attorneys. You always choose the attorneys in my history. Yeah. If I stood up at the school board and told them exactly that, you can talk with me or you can end up paying attorneys. And what happened? Y'all paid $10,000
to
attorneys.
Okay,
so
I'm done.
So you're exactly right. It's the
give us your counter.
Of Gadsden County.
Give us the counter.
So, all right, let's plan a future date so I can give you a counter.
For the next meeting? Mm-hmm. Are we looking at January? Yeah. We already have GCCTA on the 7th of January, so looking at another date after. And the school board meeting in January will be on the 28th.
What about the following Monday, the 13th?
January 13th? Okay, they're looking at their schedule now. All right, so we got January the 13th at 4:30.
Yep. 2025. And to be clear, they're going to provide us with the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
That is
here.
Is anything else? Okay. Dr. Siegel, there's suggested bereavement language at the bottom.
It's right there. Fiscal year, your academic year? How's your fiscal year?
July 1 to 3rd.
So that does include
the main.
Mm-hmm. Should we put the date in there to be clear?
No.
Because it's not currently in the language.
It's in effect anymore. Because you were doing by default it'd be the school year. We're very closely with the school year.
If we're going to use the same language in our non-employment employees or others.
This is like taken directly from current GESPA.
GESPA.
We could put a footnote. I don't want your fiscal year and the contract I'm responsible for. I would prefer a footnote just saying, like, at the time of this, this is the fiscal year. Like, a footnote in the contract telling them when your fiscal year is.
So that would be July 1 to June 30th.
So we put a little asterisk there.
That's what I was saying, accumulative versus cumulative.
Yeah, because it'll be either, I think bereavement leave is not cumulative. Or you say you cannot accumulate bereavement leave.
This is the exact language in the old contract, so I missed that.
You want to
change it.
Satisfactory documentation was satisfactory document, which I'd like to keep it as document. So there's like a whole bunch of stuff that's supposed to come. Obituary, because you're pretty much saying we're in death certificate, I would think. Something like that. And can we change accumulative cumulative?
Employees are required to provide a copy of the obituary, and you want to scratch or other.
No.
Bereavement leaves are not cumulative. Once a bereavement leave is not cumulative.
And then the last line, just the word satisfactory. Employees are required to provide a copy of the obituary or other documentation to be attached to.
No, I want to keep satisfactory and turn documentation into document.
Okay.
Because that is like singular, it's a document. Not a bunch of papers they got to turn in. So bereavement leave is not cumulative. Employees will not be paid bereavement for days not scheduled to work. Employees are required to provide a copy of the obituary or other satisfactory document to be attached to the leave request.
And you said footnote. A fiscal year is July 1 to June 30th.
And that footnote appears at the end of 1, subsection 2, because that's where fiscal year is mentioned.
I'm sorry.
At the end of year, we say fiscal year, but on it.
So like year 1. Superscript 1 or superscript asterisk or whatever.
Can we put it in parentheses? Fiscal year parentheses, July 1 to June 30th.
That's fine.
Okay.
So we pass on June 28th and then July 2nd.
hard is it to move the fiscal year? Is it possible at this time?
It's actually is what it is.
Yeah, it would be possible to move it. We talked about effective upon ratification. I think that's just what it normally is. If we don't put anything in here about that, it becomes effective on the day of ratification, right? Mm-hmm. So I think we need to say that.
Yeah.
Any objections to Ms. Lombardo? That was very nice. She really didn't like that.
You got jokes.
Oh, I always got jokes.
I didn't even know that.
Alright, I think that was it.
Okay. Meeting adjourned at 5:40.
Alright.